Women's Share, Chaypas Alvavus, Share Yichud HaMaisa, Wednesday, Vav Teves. Okay.
I'll talk very slowly till 12:15. I apologize, maybe I shouldn't take away your chat time. It's the only time you get out to socialize. That's why the shiur is so well attended. It's become a social gathering place. I see some old faces. I mean, not young. I see some young faces back. Welcome back. It gives me chizuk when I see people here. Okay, we're learning Shara Yichud HaMaisa, and we're learning Perek He. And Perek He is the perek where he goes through different enticements of the Yetzirah. Very deep, very analytical, very psychological. He pushes all the right buttons. None of this is nogeya anyone sitting here, of course, but maybe you have a friend who has a Yetzirah, so you could give over. The first half was theological, I'll call it half, it's not exactly half, of course. The first part was of the perek was different theological, intellectual cheshbonos, and the second part is more down to earth and practical. That's not the right word. More of a pragmatic enticement of the Yetzirah. He's not dealing with Schar Ba'onesh and Hashem and Olam Abba, but he talks about. We learned about the first one was doing things to gain other people's approval. That's what the Yetzirah will tell you, that that's a very important thing. He'll even sound very learned and quote a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that you're supposed to have other people's approval. It's a sign that you're on the right track if people approve of you. And he will slowly, subtly make that the focus of your motivation, to seek other people's approval. The second one was to do things for kavod, in order that people look up to you and respect you. And again, he has enough Maimori Chazal that that's something a person should want. And again, it does say these members in Chazal, and they say that this is the reward Hashem gives, that Talmid Chachamim or Tzadikim many times are Bismola Osher V'chavot, we say. The Torah does, it is a proper reaction that the person gets honor for being learned or for being a tzaddik, but certainly that shouldn't be the motivation of the actions, but that's what the Yetzirah tries to do. He tries to slowly, subtly, one of the milos of therapy, over the years I've grown to appreciate therapy, even if it's not necessarily therapeutic. I mean it. A good therapist, you have to have a good one. It has to be from, and it has to be good. It could give you insight into your motivations, which really is a very hush of a thing. And they used to be able to do it through learning Musar. But people nowadays don't learn Musar, first of all, and also there's so many layers of... And there are emotional issues too, and it could be the background, and I could do things in order to win my father's approval, and I can do things in order to get back at my parents for the way they raised me. And like a lot of things we do have, and that's what, Freud it was used in a bad way in many circles against Bechira, but it did bring out the complexity of a person's thoughts and motivations, and it really, Rav Salanter was really lived at the same time. It's very remarkable that he also opened up the Torah world. He opened up the Torah world to the world of the unconscious, of the world of the inner, the id and the ego. He didn't use those words, but the things that motivate us, like kavod, could motivate me. And I don't think about it, and it's not blatant, and it's not, I'm not even aware of it. But, any time a person davens Shmona Esrei differently in shul than they daven it at home, so you have to ask yourself, why? it's the same Hashem, it's the same. Oh, because it makes a difference. People are looking at you. Oh. Anyway, so, but that's what the Chavis Hold Over says, and it's not so rachav, we're not talking about a Russia. We're talking about regular people who do things with that motivation. Moving along, because we want to cover some ground, we want to get to where we're up to. We're actually at the end of the third one. The third one is that the Yetzer Hara makes us busy, busy, busy with all of our tirdos of Olam Hazeh. He just wants to keep our minds and focus off of Olam Haba, off of eternity, away from Hashem. And life is busy. I'm talking to a room of women, so there's, you know, always something to do. Always. There is, you know. And then you have kapu on top of that. So the Yetzer Hara doesn't want to give you time to think, because really, as in the famous marshal of the Chafetz Chaim, you should carve out some time. It's true, we're very busy. Part of that busyness should be to think about where you're up to in life, and whether you're accomplishing your spiritual goals, and how are you doing, and how are you furthering those goals, and what can you do to further it better. Maybe you need new goals. A person should never stagnate. You know what happens if you stagnate? Hashem says, okay, your light's over, I guess, because you're finished. You don't want to have that. If you can help it, so you always have to make new goals. So Hashem has a reason to keep you around. The Chavis Hold Over then segued into davening, and a person using davening to make up the shopping list and to think about what he should say in court when he gets to court, and all sorts of things. And we all laughed. It was 2 weeks ago. But he describes very vividly that a person says, "Oh, Baruch Hashem, I had Gedamish Shmona Esrei, so I have some free time to think, because nobody's bothering me now, so I have some downtime to figure out how to do something." And he says, "It's right." So he's in the middle of describing davening. So we're at the end of that. And he's finished describing how our minds run away with all sorts of things during Shmona Esrei, during davening, I should say. Now, v'im yikatz ba'es hahi. That's really up to those words. You have the bottom of page 518. If you're following in the text, if you just want to be entertained and listen to me, that's. I'm teaching women. Maybe you went to Visionitz and they taught you not to read text. Women are not allowed to read text. I'm dealing with very frum women who went to Visionitz or Ger or Satma. So you're not allowed to read text. So that's okay then. So who am I to? The imyikas, and if you wake up, ba'esahi, v'yachshuv and nafsho. Now the Chavis Hold Over does something here. Shalom Aleichem. Mrs. Z,
yeah.
Shalom Aleichem. When did you get back? Welcome. So Chavis Hold Over does here something very. This is like a signature of his, if that's the right word, and if it's not, so I just made it up. It's a signature of his. He takes everyday life and interaction between people and human relationships. And he wants us to extrapolate that to our relationship with Hashem. And he does that throughout the Sefer, as if to say, don't start thinking about how you should act towards Hashem. I mean, he does also, but he says, you know, it's like the Gemara says, really. The Gemara says, you want to have Yiras Hashem, imagine how afraid you are of people catch you doing something. Halavai, you should be as afraid of Hashem as you are afraid of people. So he does that throughout the Sefer. He says, you want to think, oh, what's so terrible if I don't have such kavana by Shmona Esrei? He says, wait a second. Imagine you are going over to your boss asking for a raise. Imagine you're going over to a neighbor and asking for a favor and make believe they could read your mind. And you're thinking about shopping lists, and you're thinking about what you're going to serve for supper that night, and you're thinking about how you're going to get home in time to be there when the kids come home, and you're thinking about 1,001 things. Would that, that person would for sure turn down your request. He would say, that's what it means to you, that's how sincere you are, that's how important this is to you, that you're thinking about all sorts of things as you're asking me to lend you money for a down payment for a house. And your mind is full of... And imagine, he's talking to the bank manager, says the Chayyus HaLovus, we'll learn in a moment. He wants you... Chayyus HaLovus wants... throughout the Sefer, he's obviously looking for ways to bring all of his lessons in Chovas Halvavas very down to earth, that it should be very real. It shouldn't be a frumkeit, a holiness that's for tzaddikim. He likes to bring things very down to earth. And this is one of his methods of doing so, is to say, make believe this is you and someone else. You're going to a bank manager and you're asking for a mortgage loan, for a down payment for a house. And he can read your mind and you're thinking of how to cheat him, how to do something that'll, this is his next step. The first step is if you're thinking about what to serve for supper that night, he'll get angry. Imagine if you're thinking about how you're really not going to pay him back and how you're going to rob the bank. And so he'll certainly throw you right out of his office. He says, what do you want from Hashem? So you're standing there and you're asking Hashem for life and you're asking Hashem for good things, but Hashem can read your mind. And meanwhile you're thinking about what to serve for supper and how you're going to work out your schedule for the day, and it's an Aveira. And in doing so you're rebelling against Hashem. You're doing something that's very unpleasant to Hashem. Right? He is upset by your thinking about other things. So like, try to picture that, and that's how you fight what the Yetzer is. It's very hard, the Yetzer. Life is life, and life is busy, and we're all busy with life. So the Yetzer tries to overwhelm us with it, so that we don't have time to think about Olam Haba and Nitzchius, so we don't make plans. And then he segues into davening, because he says that's like prime time to think about things. And so then he says, V'mikatz b'yisahib, wake up, V'yachshov v'nafshov v'yomar lo. This is how you combat what the Yetzer Hara is making inroads. So combat it by saying to yourself, and this is like, if you have the text, this is such a typical sentence of the Chovas Halvavas. And he says it countless times throughout the Sefer. Eich isnahigim abore, how can I dare act with the Borei Olam, the Masha Eino Nocholi, which would be inappropriate way, which in a way that would be inappropriate for me to act with another person. The Mesh Eino Nocholi Lisnagim Ambrum, again, because that a person could relate to. Right? In Shara Bitochon, he talks about having Bitochon if you, at the same time you're doing Averis. So he wants you to think about going to someone to ask them for a favor, and it says, don't ring the doorbell, and you ring the doorbell. And you say, hello. Can I, he says, but didn't you read the sign? He says, don't ring the doorbell. He says, yeah, I don't care. Don't ring the doorbell. I want to ring the doorbell. Can you lend me a few $1,000? Throw you out. He's going to say, right? He's going to throw you out. So Hashem is the same way. It seems like sacrilegious, almost, but it's a ploy, I believe, to make it real, to make us realize that the mind could be toe-faced. This, it's not Hashem, and really many times the Chovas Halvavas points out that many relationships are there for the purpose of it. Many relationships mirror our relationship with Hashem, and they exist for the purpose of us doing this extrapolation, the most obvious being the relationship between a parent and a child, where Hashem is the parent, and we know what it means to be a parent. We know what it means to be giving and loving and forgiving and caring only about the good of the child, and the child is sometimes yelling and screaming, but we have to do what's best for the child, and we accept the child for what the child is, and we still love it, and we want to correct it if it's acting inappropriately, but we don't reject, we accept, and we love. We say, hey, that's what all the Sforim say Hashem is, and we can relate to that. And that's the way we should think about Hashem. We should extrapolate it from our own experience as parents. Or husband and wife. There's an intensity of love and caring and bonding. And and that's many times described in Nach as being the relationship with Hashem as well. If you're coming from the child's perspective, as a person matures, they say, oh, how do I feel about my parents? I have respect for them, I love them, but I am afraid of them also, right? That's the other half of the stick, which also we can then, how do I fear and love Hashem at the same time? Oh, well, I mean, the way it's supposed to be, I don't know about nowadays. Nowadays, you know, we're living in a society, you know, in secular society, they're calling the parents by the first name, and then a lot of people, I don't want to get into this rant, but we fall into the trap about trying to be the child's friend instead of being the child's parent. And that's I'll save that for my classes on parenting. But from the child's perspective, think of the 1850s. Think of, you know, I love these books, you know, A Little House on the Prairie and those kind of books. I love them. Like, that's how children are supposed to act towards parents. That's how they're supposed to feel towards parents. Like, you're afraid of them, but afraid in the sense that you don't want them to be cross at you. And not just because they won't give you supper that night. They'll give you supper, it's okay. You just don't want them to be angry at you. You find validation in their approval of you. And that's how we so say, oh, that's how I'm supposed to feel about Hashem. And I love Hashem intensely, but I'm in awe of Hashem. So many human relationships, whether it's friendship or we're supposed to, they exist. Perhaps they even exist for the purpose of Hashem's, you know, of using it to understand Hashem better. So the Chavis HaLovis is not out of line for doing this. I'm not saying every example he gives, that's the purpose of that particular dynamic, to learn about Hashem, but it's an okay extrapolation to make. I think he has basis to doing that. Besides that, it works. Hopefully, he makes it real. He puts it down to earth. But you say sometimes, "Well, Hashem is Hashem. Like, am I really supposed to be doing this?" Imagine how you'd feel if someone slapped you in the face, you know. But Hashem doesn't do that. But the Chavis HaLovis does it throughout the Sefer, and therefore, it's correct to do, and it's pedagogical, and it works. And he says, you know, don't be so frum. Don't try to think about Hashem. You're not going to get there. Think about how you would feel if someone came to ask you for a favor, and meanwhile he's figuring out if it's kedai to buy the 26-ounce can of mushrooms, or two of the 10-ounce cans of mushrooms, whatever. Whatever we think about during Shemoneh Esrei, you know better than I do. What you think about. I know better than you do what I think about. Anyway, in a way that's inappropriate to deal with people. When I need them, or they need me, how they act. If I go to someone to ask him for something, and I'm asking him, and the words are coming out of my mouth, it's something I really, really need. Believe me, ponem imenu, but my heart is somewhere else. If he would, he doesn't even have to read my mind. If he would see that, like, this glazed look in my eyes, that I'm really somewhere else. I'm asking him for a loan of a lot of money, and my mind is somewhere else. He would get upset and annoyed, and he would say, I don't think you're talking to me? You want to ask me for something? And so it's just, like, on the surface, you're somewhere else. Come back when you want to, you know, ask me in the proper way. He's not going to do what I ask him. Imagine if he would know, Shani Matrid Libi, that what's my heart is full of B'meshenomapik Ritzono, something that he's upset at. Right? I'm thinking that I'm going to vote for that politician that he can't stand. Imagine how he would do a slow burn. I get some angry. And his refraining from doing for me what I ask, he'd be right. It's a chutzpah to go over and ask, and your mind is somewhere else, or even worse, your mind is involved in something that sets him off, that makes him angry, that upsets him, that he holds as wrong and not appropriate. B'chein b'bili safek, and you know, that's when you're talking about someone else. Nadu Chavis Halvov is a very smart man, turns around and says, and that's how you would act too. It's not like, oh, he would act that way, but I'm a big tzaddik. No, you would act the same way. B'chein b'bili safek, undoubtedly, hayisi osa, I would do that too. L'misha hayashayol mimeni shum chayfet, for someone coming to ask me for something, for hayisi odea mi libo, I would be able to read his mind, masha yeda bori mi libi, what my creator, what Hashem, can see into my heart, and see what I'm thinking about. Ve'echlo evosh mi bori, how can I not be totally embarrassed and ashamed? Right, we're ashamed if there would be a video, if we would know there's a video recording our every action, so we'd be ashamed to act and to say certain, we'd be ashamed to act certain ways and say certain things, right? But there is a video. All we have to do is imagine that Hashem's watching us. And, you know, bingo, we're all of a sudden acting like tzaddikim. She'ertzalo minafshi, how can I not be afraid, ashamed of Bori? That I want him to act in a way that I would think is inappropriate for me to act. And I want Hashem to act that way, to ignore what I'm thinking about and just to give me what I'm asking him for. If my heart and my soul, I'm somewhere else, I'm not putting myself into the bakasha, I'm just going through the motions. He quotes a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, and it's an interesting pasuk to quote. It's a pasuk that you ought to be ashamed of yourselves. That's what Yirmiyahu tells Klal Yisrael. Gambosh lo yevoshu, they're not ashamed. V'hochlein lo yedu. Oz he calling lo yedu. What pasuk is he quoting? The pasuk is remonstrating for Klal Yisrael not only for doing averus, but for not being embarrassed about it. So, like, why embarrassed? Because think, you know, in a klali sense, the Chavis Halavos would have us be embarrassed anytime we do any avera, because Hashem is meanwhile giving me the power of thought and the power of speech and the power to move my arms and to move my legs, and I'm taking the gift that He gives me and I'm using it against Him. Hide your face in shame. Have you no shame? You're not embarrassed to act like that? So in general, the Navi remonstrates with Klal Yisrael that they have no busha. Because anytime we do an Avera, if we would think along those lines, how you're being Mishalem Ra'a Tachas Tova, how we're using the gifts Hashem gives us to rebel against Him, and we're not ashamed. We don't think twice. Yeah, it's fine. We're fine with it. Think about all these things. Oz yinogev hayetzer. This should complete a paragraph, I assume. And this is how you combat the Yetzirah. So again, this was number 3 in this part of Perakei Shayichet Hamaisim. In general, number 3 was that the Yetzirah fills your thoughts with thoughts of mundane, everyday life, which is okay, but you got to give room for thinking about Tachlis. He doesn't let. And then the Chavis Halavos specifically says that the Yetzirah puts particular kochos and turns it against you, us, by davening. And then he goes on to say what he says about davening in particular.
Isn't our problem partly that we don't understand the phrase properly?
We got a lot of problems. I don't know where to start. Yeah, so it's not an excuse. So study davening. Study what it means. Then there's another problem. We daven the same thing 3 times a day, or 2 times a day, or 1 time a day, or whatever we done. You have to overcome that too. Yeah, there's a lot of problems to overcome.
There's that's another problem.
Yeah.
The boss and the bank manager is physically standing in front of me. So.
But that's exactly what the Chavis Halavos wants us to do. We believe in Hashem. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to make Hashem. But that's exactly his point. Precisely. He wants us, that's why we act the way we do. And the Chavis Halavos is kicking us in the pants, or the skirt, whatever. And he's saying, wake up. He even used the lashon, wake up. Wake up and think of Hashem as the bank manager. And he does that throughout the Sefer, and I realize how embarrassing it is, how inappropriate. You would never act that way if you had to go in and plead with someone, forget about for your life, you know, to pot to you from a traffic ticket. You're not thinking about your shopping list then.
And you wouldn't be wearing your slippers.
That's another point, yes. Well, you might be wearing one slipper. Yeah, that's it. If you had to plead for any, and when you go to Hashem and Davin Shmoneh Esrei, you're pleading for your life, you're pleading for all the things. Brachas. Okay, let's move on. So we're up to number four, in case you're making a list. We're up to number four in the second section of Parakeh, talking about different things the Yetzer Hara tries to get us to do. Number four is fascinating. Mamash fascinating, because the Yetzer Hara is brilliant. If you remember the beginning of the Parak, he said the Yetzer Hara is... You can keep beating him, and he gives you the eights how to beat him, but he keeps picking himself off the floor and coming back for more, coming back for another round, like a fly. It's really easy to chase away, because there's or and there's choshech, and there's truth and there's falsity, but he keeps coming back, like that fly, keeps coming back. So now, Chavavavis gets really funny, and he says, the Yetzer Hara goes to the opposite extreme. What does that mean? Till now he said, oh, act like a tzaddik because people will respect you, and act like a tzaddik because you'll get kavod, and etc. Now he goes to the other extreme. He says, you know, sometimes the Yetzer Hara is going to tell you, you don't want honor from people. It's terrible to have honor from people. And you don't want to be nichshal and gaiva. That would be terrible. So whenever people are looking at you, I want you to make don't do anything that makes you look like a tzaddik. And if you're davening in public, make sure you say Shemoneh Esrei very quickly. Don't like Chas V'Shalom make it look like you're davening with kavana. And don't let people see you acting. Don't make an impression on people. You know, sometimes there are some Hasidic stories like this where people actually did this in their lives as a kapara. But the Chayyaz Halavis is written before the age of Hasidic stories. And he is saying that this is a methodology of the Yetzer Hara. Saying, don't, and we're going to learn about, because there's a very thin line. Oh, there's an appeal in shul? Don't call out that you're giving money to the appeal, because you want to hide the fact that you're giving tzedakah. You don't want people to know. Don't do anything. Don't learn in public. He'll tell a man, don't learn in the Beis Medrash, and people could see what a masmid you are. Learn at home, where no one's going to see you, and that way you won't fall into the problem of gaiva or kavod. Like, learn at home. And he builds up this whole lifestyle, and when you go in the street, don't dress like in a way that flaunts your religiosity. You should wear jeans, and you should wear a torn shirt. Like, people should think of you like a bum. And slowly describes the Chayyaz Halavis, the Yetzer Hara can entrap you into acting a certain way, and all of a sudden, before you know it, you're living that way, and you're caught up in a web where you've gotten used to a certain lifestyle. And let's learn it inside. He says it much better than I can. When the Yetzer Hara gives up, from trying to entice you in the ways we described till now, that's the whole first half of the fifth parak, and the three that we learned here in the second half, Yishtadel, he will try, he'll go to the opposite extreme, to entice you, v'hanochas hachoneif, in trying to escape chanifa. By chanifa here he means doing things so that people should hold of you. The yom alecha, and now he's quoting the Yetzer Hara. Lo yitochein, if not, you shehi avodoscha lekel b'leiv shalem gemura. You know, he turns very firm. He says you want to be oved Hashem completely, entirely meinul avdecha be'emes. You can't do it if people see you. You can't do it if people are watching you. People are watching you, and you know that they're admiring you, and you know that they're thinking highly of you. So it's going to ruin. It's going to ruin. It's going to ruin your entirely beinu la'avdecha be'emes. Achetachek achone, if you have to keep it far away, he says, b'mcha mi'uto v'rubo, even a little, Parchokes hachonet levnei adam meyolecha lo titochin, is not possible unless you disguise yourself. Disguise that you keep mitzvahs bedikduk, and you're careful about not being over alive, and you're careful about talking lashon hara. You don't want people to admire you. Ela bakasos kol ma'asecha mehem. You have to hide from them your actions. Ubehera os hepech mashiyesh b'lib chalohem. You are from. You're a good guy. You're a good gal. You're good. You're from. Don't show it, because that's going to ruin your avoda. B'chasha tispalel, if you're davening and people are, and you're in shul, katzer, daven quickly. V'al yiroyem imecha baratzon v'lo hishtadlus. Don't show people that you're into your davening and you're davening with kavona and you're saying every word slowly. You might fall into gaiva. Knock off davening and daven quickly. B'chasha tirtza lilmo shum chochma. Whether it's Gemara, let's say, for a man, or any form of Yahadus for a woman, don't do it where people could see you. You don't go to a shir, and other people say, wow, look, she goes to so many shir, and wow. Stay home and study this farm yourself. No one sounds firmer than the Eitz Hara on a good day. No one should know about your actions except for Hashem. Don't even act with generosity and with love and with patience, because people will admire you. And when people admire you, it will spoil your avoda. The hey roy, you should appear to people to be atzla, a lazy bum. Vakvedus b'maisa avoda. You show people that you're in no rush to. You don't want to go to shul early and say brachos slowly. People are gonna. You come late and skip 3/4 of the davening. That's because that's how you want people to view you. You don't want to have a good reputation. And you'll lose your sechar of olam haba. Don't teach people Torah, because they're going to look up to you and they say, wow, this person's a learned person. This person knows what's right and what's wrong. This person knows Hilchos Shabbos. This person knows Hilchos Lashon Hara. Don't teach people that. Don't show that you know. And this is like really, really real. Don't show how much you know by teaching others, because then they'll say, wow, and then you're in trouble. Don't share your knowledge with others, because then people will see how smart you are. People will see how learned you are, and they'll admire you, and then there's no telling what will happen then. Don't act like a Yerei Shemayim. V'lo os, nothing may os also avoda. Shelo yechabducha b'nei adam avurum. You want to avoid that people will give you kavod for that. Omei hashloma sofanez rizuzcha, the Torah continues, if you really want to, like, now I'll tell you how to do even better, how to shtayg, how to grow. You be friends with all the bums in the street. Don't be friends with only good people, because then people will say, wow, look at the company he keeps. You go be friends hang around with them. He's not talking about the way you should be friends with them in an appropriate way. He means hang around with them. Go to the pool hall. You don't go to base medrash. Go to the pool hall. Shateroel cholkitos bnei yodom v'tesnai ki b'nageihem v'telech v'darcheihem u'b'nesivosom b'inyan divrei emes v'aschok. Let people see that you also can stand on a street corner and joke around and make fun of everyone and hang around the pool hall. V'al tishomer kol kach menakozov. So you lie a little, big deal, v'ashvua. V'hischabri mo'em, hang around with them, b'machal u'b'mishta, and they're partying, u'b'chidos, they're busy with all sorts of games. Ubamosrei hadvorim, just wasting their time, and they're just hanging around. Verov haschok, uladaber bohem liskor genusam, just talking about people. V'chol asher yachek misham shem haprishas b'olam hazeh etzol anoshav. V'yimtishma lo bazeh, Chavizlova says, I can promise you something. If you fall into this trap, before you know it, tishol el bimcha emunoscha, before you know it, you'll sink in your avodas Hashem, and all of a sudden, before you know it, you'll start, your emunah will be shaky. He wants you to know, you're not don't think you're safe because you're talking about a chveis of chumra, don't we? It sits out. Don't cover your hair like 100%. And I'm saying you have to follow the halacha, of course. He said, don't do it in a way where people will say, wow, she's really careful about that. And before you know it, he said, you can lose your emuna. Because once you're caught in the web of a certain way of acting, so you think you're being like really, really frum. It does, but so you'll end up, you'll forget how to daven properly, and you'll forget how to act properly, and you'll, you know, because that'll become your mode of behavior. But this is how you should answer him. Soon the Chavis HaLovis will discuss. So what do you do? Do you give tzedakah publicly, or do you only give it privately? Because he extols throughout the Sefer to do things privately. You will know that. Those of you who are on top of things with the Chavis HaLovis are wondering, wait a second, but there is something to this. Chavis HaLovis says, do things privately. There's nothing greater than an act done privately. So, like, how do I not fall into this Yetzirah trap and still do things the way Chavis HaLovis? Maybe Chavis HaLovis is the Yetzirah. Wait a second. Because he's always telling me to do things privately and people shouldn't know about it. And there's no more wholesome act than an act that's done privately that no one knows about. He's going to deal with that in a few lines. I'm just giving you coming attractions. I'm hoping we don't get up to this, so you have to come back next week. So first he tells you how to deal with the Yetzirah. Then he gets into his discussion about where do you draw the line and how do you know, which this everyone always wants to know. How do I know if I'm doing things lishma, or if I'm doing things because I want approval, or I'm doing things because people are looking at me? How do I know? So he will soon tell us. But first he says, slap down the Yetzirah. When you start having these thoughts about not davening slowly when you're in shul, and not coming to shul to learn, and not letting people know that you're doing chesed, and you show people that you're a stingy, ungenerous, selfish, self-centered person, that's what the Yetzirah is telling you. The Tomalo, you talk back to the Yetzirah and say, Kvar ozarta la'oivai pihi lochamo bi. You're fighting against me. I have you figured out. You're fighting against me and you're helping my enemy. You're trying to outsmart me and to make me fall. You know what you're doing, Mr. Yetzirah? You are telling me to go from the frying pan into the fire. It's true, there's a problem of doing things for the sake of honor and shalom lishma, and people will hold of me, and that's not perfection. So what are you telling me to do? Do bad things. I'm worried about when I do good things that I should do it with a purity of heart. What kind of silly aids is it to do bad things as if that's a solution? That's silly. That's ridiculous. I'm worried about how do I make my good deeds more perfect. So you're telling me, you know how? By doing bad deeds. It's absurd. Vanilo barachti me'avas Hashem v'hakavod. I'm running away from, hopefully, from having, being famous and getting kavod. Ela shalola is dying with ne'odam, so that I shouldn't be like everyone else. I shouldn't act the way people act. And you're telling me, go act like people act. V'hatom mitzava osid lizdayin lohem v'hanochas avodas alokin. So that's all. That's the end of the Yetzirah. That it's absurd. You're telling me to go from an Eish HaKetana to an Eish HaGedola. I'm trying to purify and perfect actions. And let me think this through. The way to perfect my good actions, to make them even better, is by doing bad actions. Right. Right. That's what he wants you to say. Yeah. Well, wait. Now the Chavis HaLovis will tackle the issue. The Chavis HaLovis will now tackle the issue. Because it is an issue. And especially, I say the Chavis HaLovis really has a problem, because he's the one that tells us throughout the Sefer to do things privately. And how do you know why you're doing something? And how do you know that the Yetzirah is trying to get you? She says, the Yetzirah, forget about it. He's, when he tells you not to do what you're supposed to do, the way to attain a purity of doing things lishma is by davening Shmona Esrei fast, so you know that's ridiculous. I want to perfect my Shmona Esrei, that I'm davening it properly for the right reason, not the wrong reason, and he's coming and he's saying, oh, I have an etzah for you. Don't daven Shmona Esrei properly. So that's what you should say. You're being ridiculous. Slap him down. Show the absurdity of what he's trying to get you to do. Now, the Chavis HaLavos tackles the issue. Ach masheroi lahastiro mima'asai, what should I keep private? What should I do? What actions should I do privately? Not the Yetzer is trying to get me to act incorrectly, inappropriately. Daven quickly. Don't learn. You know, go home and learn. Yeah, right. But now let's tackle the issue. What should I make sure to do privately and not publicly? Achmasheroi lastiru mima'asai. Who kol mashe yushlam, and he will explain. We're not going to be able to finish today, but he will elaborate and explain. And Belina de Mitzvah Shem, we will hopefully understand fully what he's saying before we move on. But today it's going to be a half an answer. Kol mashe yushlam v'yugmar mibli da'as b'nei odom bo. See, the Yetzirah is trying to get me to daven fast. Step one, only do privately what you are really sure that you will do perfectly even if no one's watching you. That's step one. Now, davening happens to be a bad example, let's say, for a man, let's say, because he says, because if he, don't daven with a minion. So it doesn't matter how slow you're not davening with a minion, you're not davening in shul, so that's already bad. But step one is, whenever I tell you to do something privately, says the Chayvus HaLavos, step one is that you have to be confident. You have to be sure. You say, well, how can I be sure? Okay, let's start with the word confident. You have to be confident that you won't be megareya from your actions, that you won't do less because you're doing it privately. That's step one. In order to go to the madrega of doing something privately so that no one knows about it, step one is don't ratchet down what you're doing. Be convinced that even if you do it privately, if I tell you to give tzedakah privately, make sure that you have to be confident that you'll give the same amount as you would give if people are calling out by an appeal, or they're going to give you a plaque. That's step one. If you see yourself giving less, then forget that whole game plan, as the Chayyim Zalavas are saying. Step one in my suggestion that you taka do things privately is make sure you don't do any iota less than you would do if you would do it publicly. That's the first step. Ach masheroi lahastiro mima'asai, the only thing that I could turn to you and say, maybe you should do it privately, and anonymously, Hukoma sheyushlam v'yugmar, if you're confident that you will do it completely, mebli das b'nei adam bo. So that's number one. Aval hispalel b'tzibur, right, once you're davening in your house, man, you're not davening b'tzibur already. So forget it. Don't tell me, you daven so much kavana, you don't want to see people to see you davening slowly and carefully and shuckling and having kavana, so daven at home. Forget it, because at home you're not davening b'tzibur. So you're right away not fulfilling, like, step one of doing it in the most mu'uleh way as if you would do it publicly. Because you can't daven at home, isn't there any, again, I'm talking from a man's perspective, he has to daven with a minion, so you say you daven at home, forget it, you daven at home, you're not davening with a tzibur. So you're already not doing properly. For the tzavos betov, to teach people Torah, to tell people a proper way of conduct, right? So you can't do it privately. It's a public thing. This is step two. A public thing is public. That's his next point. I can't tell you to do privately. You can't be mazniach. You can't leave what good actions, good deeds, mitzvahs, things that you're supposed to do, if they're by nature public. So forget it. Don't not do it because you can't do it privately. There's some things that have to be public. That's just the way it is. You want to teach Torah, you want to teach people, so it has to be public. What are you going to do? You're not going to do it. Then you're falling back into the trap of the Yetzirah by not doing what's right because of the fear that if you do what's right, it won't be perfect. Because you might do it shelo lishma. So don't do it at all. That's an absurdity. And by the way, that happens to be a good lesson for life. Right? It's a famous saying, I believe, right? The perfect is the enemy of the something of the good. Okay, we'll stop here. We're in the cliff.